Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call this meeting to order Monday, March the 18th, 2024. And I would like to start out by asking the mayor if he would to lead us in an invocation and pledge allegiance, okay? Everybody, please rise.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you for this great and awesome day. We thank you that you've blessed us to travel from one place to another throughout the day. You covered us and you protected us and you allowed no harm to come our way. And we're so grateful to say thank you. We ask you tonight, Lord, as the commissioners and go forward to dealing with the affairs of Duplin County, that you give them the wisdom and knowledge that is needed. We want to also thank you for the speedy recovery for our county manager, Father. And then also ask you to remember our school superintendent as he go back and forth. We ask you to cover them, bless them, and allow us here in Duplin County to continue to see your great blessings as you bring new ventures. Remember our farmers, Father, as they go forward in a new season. Give them the wisdom that they need to plant, to produce the things that is needed for our county and other places in the world. In Jesus' name, let all of God's children say amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mayor Connors. Anybody have anything they need to add to the agenda tonight?
I do not.
Garner?
No, sir. I'm sorry.
Clerk? Minister? I'd entertain a motion.
Second.
I got a motion and a second to accept the agenda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carry. All right, I'd entertain a motion to accept the minutes from our March 4th meeting.
So moved.
I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. Carry. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to review the consent agenda. What's the pleasure of the board?
Move to approve.
I got a motion.
Second.
And I got a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carry. All right, that brings us to item number one, public comments. Madam Clerk, do we have anybody?
We have one signed up, Ms. Parks.
Okay. If you will, come forward, state your name, and you have a 3-minute time limit.
My name is Luciana Barksdale, and I stand on behalf of Dyson Fryer to express some concerns. Dyson was arrested in Duplin County Jail on February 18th. He stayed from the 18th to the 21st on charges that he had been cleared on previously. Dyson, who has been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes since the age of 10, relies on medication for his health and well-being. During his time at the facility, Dyson repeatedly requests access to his prescribed diabetic medication. Despite his urgent pleas and alarming readings, the facility glucose monitor, he was denied proper treatment. His blood sugar levels were so high at one point that the monitor did not read. Dyson wears a pump that distributes his diabetic medication to him. He was made to remove the monitor from him when he was arrested. Although he received some insulin, it was not in accordance to his regular dosage. Furthermore, he was not provided with any insulin when he needed it in conjunction with his meals and per his medical regimen. By Tuesday, his condition had deteriorated significantly. He was experiencing vomiting and unable to consume food. Despite worsening state, his request to medical attention outside the jail was constantly denied. Instead of receiving the necessary care, he was placed in isolation when appeared unwell, only to be returned back to the general population when the nurse deemed him better. The denial of proper medication and medical care has severe repercussions on his health. When his mother retrieved him from the facility, he was visibly weak and unsteady. It was evident that his body was deprived of the essential nutrients it was required during his stay. Even after administering his proper medication at home, his condition did not improve. Eventually, she had to rush him to the hospital. At the hospital, he was treated for dehydration, and administered insulin and IV, gradually stabilizing his glucose level. Additionally, he was diagnosed with anxiety and depression by his therapist, deemed to the mental decline due to traumatic issues because he did not receive his medication and fearing for his life. We are deeply dissatisfied of the treatment that Dyson received at this time. However, he did receive medication at his doctor's office. He is doing better now. Dyson is here, but he was in DKA when he got to the hospital, meaning that he was near comatose status whenever he got to his medical physician. So we're not asking that, you know, anything be done for Dyson on as far as compensation. We just want to ask that Duplin County receives medical treatment when dealing with someone that has diabetes type 1 and or low or high diabetes. Dyson could have lost his life. He asked several times to be sent to the hospital and he was denied that. His sugar levels was over 500 during his stay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. We'll definitely take this information forward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, that brings us to item number 2. Mr. McGirt.
Yes, sir. Good evening, commissioners. I appreciate your time. I'm happy to serve as the chairman of the Juvenile Crime Prevention Council here in Duplin County. I've served for the last 2-3 years. This will be the third year. And it's been a pleasure. We've done a lot of great things since I was able to take over from Mr. Futrell, who had really done an outstanding job prior to my becoming the chairman. And I'm happy to serve with the mayor as well as Commissioner Dow. And they will both tell you, I hope, that we're doing everything we can for the youth in Duplin County. All of you should have received prior to today the funding plan. There's not any major changes this year. We've just adjusted some of the numbers as far as what each program is getting. Our budget remained the same. That's $212,657. And we just moved things around based on the amount of enrollment that we were getting for each program. So we monitor these programs. We have committees that do that. We also think of new programming that could help on emerging issues, and we try to do that as well. And the programs that we have are doing a good job. So we ask that you approve the funding plan for 2024 and 2025. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. This will be the last year I serve as the JCPC chairman. I've transferred to Sampson County, but it's always been a pleasure to work with people in this county as well as the commissioners.
And also in this motion request, authorize the chairman to sign. Okay?
So moved.
I got a motion.
Second.
And I got a second. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that brings us to item number 3. Ms. Dobson.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Chairman Edwards, Vice Chairman Garner, Commissioner Branch, Commissioner Edwards, Commissioner Dow, to our county manager, to our county attorney, and of course, our county clerk for the board. Good evening. So I'm Nicoya Dobson. Everyone calls me Nikki. I am a native of Duplin County, lifelong resident, other than my time away at college and 1 year in Boston. I am your new public defender for the district, and our district includes Sampson, Jones, Duplin, and Onslow. The district that I serve as public defender is only for Sampson, Duplin, and Jones counties. I was sworn in on January 10th of this year. After winding down my practice, I was appointed by the Honorable Henry Stevens IV, and I am here tonight with longtime attorney Reginald Keenan and Judge Morgan Swenson, excuse me. Wanted to tell you a little bit about myself so that you understand at least my role in this position or in the county is that I come from a background where my first job out of law school was a public defender in Boston, Massachusetts. if any of you all remember Charlie Lanier, Charlie says that I got to Boston because I got on a bus that I thought said Beulahville. And that is how I ended up in Boston. Because I was a country girl from Magnolia, North Carolina in Duplin County. And after a year of being in Boston as a public defender, I moved back home and I served as an assistant district attorney in Onslow. And I was there in Onslow in Jones County for about 4 years under the elected DA, Ernie Lee. From there, I moved on and I went to serve as an assistant public defender in New Hanover County. And I served there for 4 years. And then from there in 2021, I opened my own practice. I had an office here in Wallace and then one in Wilmington as well, where I practice predominantly criminal as well as some civil matters. So did that for 3 years up until my appointment. So I have experience, as you can see, in criminal law. However, the public defender's office will serve more than just criminal cases. We'll also serve child support cases. We will do Department of Social Services cases, commitment hearings, things of that nature. In Duplin County, in the entire district, we were budgeted for 6 attorneys. I would make 7, or I do make 7. And I had 3 staff members, 2 legal assistants and 1 administrative assistant. The way the public defender's office will work is that we work to mimic the DA's office. In our county today, the DA's office has 4 assistant district attorneys, and they have 4 staff members that serve in Duplin County. Ideally, we'll ask for more funding so that we can match that 4 and 4. As of right now, Duplin County will be staffed with 3 assistant public defenders, 1 legal assistant, and an administrative assistant that will serve all 3 counties. I will serve all 3 counties as well, but our home base will be here in Duplin County. Why? Because it is the middle county in between Jones County and Sampson County. In your packets, I believe that there's an official letter. I met with Mr. Miller back at the beginning of February just to introduce myself. And I'm sure that he's had conversations with the board, but I wanted to come and introduce myself and make the request personal. I understand that this request comes at a weird time, that your fiscal budget is from July 1st to June 30th. The position started January 1st of this year, even though I wasn't sworn in until January 10th. So I understand that there may be issues concerning space in the immediate future. However, I do come asking for space that would accommodate our future needs as well as our immediate need. I also would make the request that though this may be months ahead or in the making before that request can be fulfilled, I would ask that the board consider maybe one office in the courthouse. And the reason why my request is so specific is because our network has to be secured in accordance with the administrative courts. And currently our courthouse is already in compliance with that, along with the IT that the county would supply, or the IT needs that the county supplies in conjunction with the state. We need one office. Currently we are working out of our homes. I have one attorney that could not be here tonight that said, you're working out of your car. And essentially that is true. And while that is okay until we have sufficient space, I would ask the board to consider at least one office until we are able to get an entire office. I understand that space is an issue in the county. And I appreciate all the work and the conversations that have taken place thus far. I know that you all work and you're working, you've been working. I really appreciate that. But I would ask for one office, because at least in one office, I can house that legal assistant. And that legal assistant can continue to work and have a place to work, because we have attorneys that are ready to work. But we don't have attorneys. We don't have anywhere for them to come. Once they are hired, they will then be able to serve in the courtrooms on a daily basis. Our attorneys that we have here in Duplin County are phenomenal. Many of you know them. Many of you have worked with them. Many of you have grown up with them. but they are general practitioners. So therefore they practice most of them in more than just one county. They practice different areas of the law. With the public defender's office, we will have three dedicated attorneys in that courthouse or at least near that courthouse each and every day, Monday through Friday until 5 p.m., just as you would expect for any other county or state employee. They will be ready to be in court, to be at first appearances when those individuals are brought on the screen because they are in the jail or when they are brought up from the jail, so that hopefully we can resolve those cases on a faster basis. We can have the efficiency that we all love to hear about, but we can actually see that efficiency at work in the courtroom, so that one, either we can resolve those cases, we can get those clients out of jail by way of a bond motion or what have you. Therefore, we won't have to worry about the added expense of keeping them in there for longer than they may need to be in there or should be in there, depending on whatever the nature of their individual cases are. Again, I thank you for any and all conversations that have already occurred. And at this time, I just want to ask if you have any questions that I can answer or anything additionally that you would like to know about the office.
Anybody have any questions, Mr. Austin?
Have you identified a space that's available?
We're currently looking at three different options for office space. So when we get those fully vetted, we'll bring a recommendation as well as the two other options to the board.
What other costs do we have other than just providing the space?
Furniture.
Just to fit up for as the facility owners.
That's correct.
But everything else is handled through another portal for us.
Yes, as Ms. Dobson said, the AOC, Administrative Office of the Courts, they handle the IT and the computers and those kind of things. There are some IT pieces, the infrastructure to get it there, that we're in charge of, but the cabling and so on and so forth, but the actual providing the service is on the Administrative Office of the Courts.
On their system, so it's not intertwined. So that's what I read in the back. So other than just the office in the courthouse, you already spotted the place?
I have not. There have been talks and things of that nature. I have removed myself from direct communication because that's not up to me. That is up to the board. And so while I would love to be a part of that process, I don't believe that we're at the point where my involvement is there yet. In terms of the space in the courtroom or the courthouse, I understand that there may be some red tape around that. I do understand that, but we're just asking for an office. My preference is the courthouse. However, if there's an office that the county would deem vacant, and this office, again, this is not an office where clients would come to meet their attorneys, because I do understand that there are some security issues or concerns that would be held there. Ideally, if we're not there where we are, we have an actual office, we would meet with our clients in the courthouse. We'll make accommodations for them.
So I do have one question, and I apologize for not asking.
No, sure, question. Sure.
Are you also going to have offices in Sampson and Jones counties?
Yes. And so the other request, if I've not said that, is that ideally, my request to the board, to the county, would be that the office location be in Keenesville. That request comes out of sheer convenience, not convenience, but also necessity. Let me say that. Because if we're anywhere within the county outside of Keenesville and we're back and forth to the courthouse, we're not going to be as efficient as we want to be. We're going to be in that courthouse every day. We're going to be, the legal assistant will be in there making copies of the warrants, making copies of all of the necessary documents in order to make sure not only my office, but also the attorneys that we will need on the court appointed list, because there will be a conflict list. We can't take all the cases that come through the criminal system. So the same setup that we would have for my office, we would want to have for Mr. Keenan, because he too serves on that list, and I know that it would also help him to have those documents readily available instead of having someone from his office have to come to Keenesville every day to get that.
These attorneys that you've got coming, they're coming whether we provide you space or not.
I've not hired anyone yet.
So my next question is, are these attorneys going to take cases away from our resident attorneys we have in here now?
They will. They will. And that is why I've asked Mr. Keenan. Well, when I say that, there are some attorneys that do rely on a list, and that is correct. However, there is a committee that Judge Stevens has formulated, and those attorneys are Mr. Ken Thompson, Mr. Reginald Keenan, Mr. Justin Hunter, Kevin Kiernia, David Hobson, and I'm missing someone, Hayes Ludlam. And they're all in support of this. They could not make it here tonight. They are all in support of the efforts. Will they take away from the court-appointed list? Yes. Will they take away from their caseload? Probably not, in the sense that the majority of those attorneys that I've just listed, they do have private, those, most clients retain them. And I believe also that Mr. Keenan may, or even Judge Swenson may want to speak to that as well.
Thanks. Yeah, very quickly, very quickly. I have a good question. As court-appointed lawyers, some take misdemeanors, some take the serious felonies. There's probably only two or three lawyers in this county that take the high-class felonies. I stay on the list because I think a poor person deserves adequate representation too. I bet you I got 60 or 70 cases of felonies just by myself. And I told Judge Henry Stephen when this idea first came, he asked me the same question you just asked. I told him it's not about me. It's about the defendants need lawyers that can spend the time to adequately prepare their defense. And so that software that she's bringing here, that's the best thing that could happen to the indigent system as far as defendants in court who can't afford a lawyer, because I carry 60 people, but that's a lot of work. And the lawyers that, the question that you asked, very few lawyers will be affected by it, because most of our lawyers not even on the list anymore for their own personal reason. But anyway, probably five lawyers in this whole county deal with court-appointed cases.
I just wanted to know, because you know, you're now doing the work, you've got an office you're paying for in the county that you're paying taxes to us on, and for me to provide space for somebody for free to work against you was an issue, you know, until you said it didn't matter.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
And I believe that was a concern for many. But Commissioner Edwards, I would also say that to his point about five in this county, it's even less in Sampson County. I believe Jones County is the county that probably has the most attorneys on the list. But also when Attorney Keenan, if I can speak, just because I too was on a court-appointed list while I was in private practice, that's a small portion of his practice. And so, yes, I'm sure, you know, you consider that because it's still income. But he's still, his practice is not just focused on the list, and we would just be focused on the list.
Okay. My question got answered. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else got any questions?
In terms of the fact that you've already been set up, so there's a sense of urgency as to when we need to speak to your needs.
I would say yes, and the reason being is that every day I learn more and more about this process. And what I have learned here recently is that the AOC, the Administration of Courts, will say that once the cabling, as you spoke to, is even done, it takes at least 90 days for their network, for them to get everything up and running. So when we're talking about urgent, we're looking, well, probably at the beginning of the summer, to be honest.
Any further questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming and introducing yourself. And you provide us a lot of information. And we'll keep working at it.
Thank you all for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That brings us to item number four. Mr. Miller.
Commissioners, I have just a couple of quick updates. I want to remind all the members of the board that the retreat is scheduled for 9 a.m. on Friday, this coming Friday, 22nd at the airport. I also want to inform the board that the transportation department has moved into their new building. So that's wonderful. We've got all the checks and balances we needed to for that building. So if you have a few minutes, stop by their building and take a look at it. I'm sure they'll have a grand opening ceremony soon. But that's all I have for the board. If you have questions for me, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anybody got questions? Mr. Miller.
Where are we standing with animal control?
Animal control, we went through the final inspection with animal control building. We have the substantial completion document. But when we went through, there were quite a few items on the punch list that needed to be repaired, fixed, whatever. So they're going through that punch list and fixing those. After that, we'll be able to move in there.
Any more questions? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to recess until March the 22nd at 9 o'clock a.m. for our retreat.
So moved.
Okay. Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. All right, we're adjourned. Or recessed.
Do you have-